You're listening to the Living Homegrown Podcast, episode number 2.
Welcome to the Living Homegrown Podcast, where it's all about how to live farm fresh without the farm. To help guide the way to a more flavorful and sustainable lifestyle is your host, national PBS TV producer and canning expert, Teresa Lowe.
Hi everyone, this is Teresa Lowe, and today is a Q&A episode all about making yogurt at home. I get asked about making yogurt all the time, and so I'm going to go over the most common question I get, and that is, what is the easiest way to make yogurt? I'm going to go into that and a whole lot more, but first, I just want to cover, why would you even want to make yogurt at home? Well, first of all, it tastes fantastic. It's, I think, better than store-bought. And the second thing is that you have complete control over what's in it. A lot of the store-bought yogurts have additives and a lot of sugar and even coloring. And when you make it at home, you know exactly what's in it. And I really like that. You can also save money by making your own yogurt. It tastes like the high-dollar version, but it is really inexpensive to make. And it's also surprisingly easy to make. But when thinking about making yogurt at home, people generally have a few areas of concern. They might worry that it's difficult or complicated. They think that you need some special equipment to do it. Or worse, they're afraid of doing it at all because they think it might be dangerous if it's not done right. Well, these are all legitimate concerns, and I'm just hoping that in today's episode, I can dispel all of those concerns for you. So I'm going to cover how to make yogurt the easy way, and this is the way I do it, at room temperature on your countertop. And with this method, you don't need any special equipment. It's not like traditional yogurt making. This method does not require you to heat the milk in any way. And I'm also going to go into how yogurt making works so that you're not afraid of it. I'll even cover where to buy your yogurt starter so you can dive in right away. So let's get started. First, you need to know that yogurt is just a fermented milk product, and all that's required to make it is some milk and a yogurt culture. Now, that yogurt culture can be one that you buy in the store or online, and you can even, in some cases, use some of the yogurt from a previous batch to make the next batch of yogurt. That's the way I like to do it, because once you start it, it's perpetual, and you keep making the yogurt over and over without having to go back to the store to buy a new starter. Being able to make it perpetual or not just depends on which culture you're using. And in the world of yogurt, there are many different kinds of cultures to choose from. And just so you know, a yogurt culture is just a different combination of bacteria. Each culture has its own little special formula or combination of bacteria that it's using to do the ferment. And those different cultures can create different flavors, textures, and even characteristics of the finished yogurt. And to me, that is the fun part of it. Some yogurts are thick and others are thin. Some are tangy and tart. Some are smooth and rich. So it's a whole different world depending upon which culture you start working with. And as you play around in the yogurt world, you learn that the way you do the ferment can also give you different results. So before I go on, I just have to throw out a disclaimer there that it is very possible that if you start making yogurt enough, you will become addicted to it. And I just have to say that if you start down this road, you may one day find yourself shopping for different yogurt cultures just like you shop for a new pair of shoes. And if that happens to you, it is not my fault. I just have to throw that out there. So just be warned that it can be a very healthy yet addictive habit to start, and it's a whole lot of fun. So I hope you do it. I think it's almost like having a pet. It's because it's alive and you're taking care of it. And I just really hope you enjoy it if you try it. Now, let me explain a little bit about how the yogurt making process works, and then we can get into the easy part. So the milk and the culture are just blended together and set aside and allowed to ferment. In other words, the culture grows and multiplies inside the milk. And that action is what transforms the milk into yogurt. Now the culture is alive and it feeds off the lactose or the natural sugar that's inside the milk. And in the process, the pH level changes and all sorts of interesting things happen chemically, but All you really need to understand is that the culture is alive and that it eats and multiplies and makes the yogurt. And our job as yogurt makers is just to baby those little yogurt cultures and keep them happy and give them love in the way of food and a happy environment so that they'll grow. It's kind of like raising kids, but a whole lot easier. So where yogurt making can sometimes get tricky is in those conditions that we need to set up in order to have that ferment happen. In other words, it's important that we create that perfect environment or it doesn't work. Now, some yogurts, in fact, most yogurts that you're probably familiar with, need warmth to grow, and others do not. And this is something that I didn't know right away when I first started making yogurt. I only knew about the kind of yogurt that you make where you have to heat up the milk because the yogurt culture needs warmth. And that's a more traditional yogurt, like a Greek yogurt or a Bulgarian style yogurt. The traditional method for making yogurt requires that you heat the milk, add the culture, and then keep that milk at exactly 110 degrees for a certain amount of hours, usually like 7 to 8 hours, until it's done fermenting. So the traditional yogurt needs that warmth, and a fancy word for this type of yogurt is thermophilic, thermo meaning heat. If you don't have the warmth, nothing happens. It just sits there. Now, although this type of yogurt is fairly simple and it is absolutely delicious, I sometimes found that when I was making this type of yogurt, I sometimes got hung up on the temperature requirements, and I found it to be kind of a pain. Now, if you have a yogurt maker, it's a pretty simple process. But for me, a yogurt maker was just a single-use appliance that ended up taking up space on my countertop. It can only be used for making yogurt. It's not expensive, but you can buy them in the store, and you put the milk and the culture together in one of their little containers, put it inside the yogurt maker, and let it sit on the counter, and it keeps it at that perfect temperature until it's done fermenting. But if you want to make this type of yogurt, you don't have to have a yogurt maker. There's a number of ways that you can maintain that temperature. You can use your oven or a crock pot. You definitely want to have a thermometer to make sure the crock pot doesn't get too hot. You can even use one of those large dehydrators like an Excalibur to maintain the temperature for yogurt making. So there's a number of ways to make it work. And I certainly don't want to discourage you from trying traditional yogurt making where you have to work with temperature, because the cultures and the types of yogurts that you can get are absolutely delicious. But I learned a while back about an alternative way to making yogurt, and I just found it to be so much easier. And I kind of switched gears and started making all my yogurt this way, and I've been doing it for almost a year now. So it turns out that you can make a delicious yogurt without heating the milk or jimmy-rigging anything special to maintain the temperature. And here's the trick. All you need to do is use an heirloom yogurt culture from the mesophilic class of yogurts. Now, mesophilic means low temperature, so it's just a fancy word for low temperature. But an heirloom yogurt culture is usually what you're pulling from that class to do this. So this type of yogurt is cultured at room temperature, where the traditional yogurt needs 110 degrees. These heirloom cultures will ferment between 70 and 78 degrees, basically room temperature. So you don't have to heat anything. You don't have to heat the milk. You don't have to keep it warm. Just keep it at room temperature, and it works like magic. It's also a culture that you can reuse. In other words, you can take a little bit from the last batch and use it to make the next batch. And you can keep doing this over and over indefinitely. And it has the same health benefits as a heated yogurt. And the flavor is fantastic. I think it's just as good as any of the other yogurts that I make, I swear. Now, here's where it gets a little bit different from a Greek yogurt, however, and that is in the consistency. They tend to be a little bit thinner. You know how Greek yogurt is really thick and creamy? Well, these types of yogurts are just a little bit thinner. I don't mean that they're pourable, but they're definitely a thinner consistency. Although there is certain cultures that you can use if you just want to make like a liquid type of yogurt, like a kefir. Now, I use an heirloom culture called Veeley. And it just happens to be a flavor that I like, and it has a consistency that I like. And the fact that it's a little bit thinner doesn't bother me at all because I use it in smoothies. I use it every day in my smoothie. But it's certainly thick enough to eat with a spoon and with fruit. It's just not super thick and creamy like a Greek yogurt. There are several different yogurt cultures that fall into this mesophilic category, and some of them are thicker than others. So in the show notes for this episode, I'll have a full listing of all the different yogurt cultures that I know about or that I've worked with. And if you're driving right now, you don't have to pull over and try and write them all down. It'll be really easy to reference back to see what you need. Just go to the show notes, which are at livinghomegrown.com/02, and I'll have everything right there for you. Okay, so the other thing to remember when you're making yogurt is that no matter what culture you choose, you can get different flavors and consistency based on how long you ferment and which milk you choose. So first, let me talk about the length of ferment. Generally, the longer you ferment yogurt, the thicker it gets. And after you're all done fermenting, you put it into the refrigerator for several hours, and that not only stops the ferment, but it will allow it to thicken even further. Also, the longer you let a yogurt culture ferment, the more tart it will be. And keep in mind that if you let it ferment too long, the yogurt will begin to separate into solids and liquid. They call that curds and whey. And there's nothing unsafe about that, but it's just that the yogurt is losing its thick consistency and it's reached its peak of tartness. And it does this because the culture's run out of food. So it's much better to stop the ferment before it separates into curds and whey. And you want to do that for the best flavor and the best consistency. Just stop before you get to that point. So let's talk just a minute here about the different kinds of milk. Often people want to know if they have to use a specific special milk. And the answer is not exactly. You can get away with using a lot of different types of milk. And you get different characteristics based on the milk you choose to culture in. You can use whole milk or low-fat milk. You can use pasteurized milk. I prefer to use organic milk for obvious reasons. And the only milk that you really have to avoid is ultra-pasteurized milk. Ultra-pasteurized is what's normally common in the grocery store, so you definitely want to check it. Pasteurized is okay, but ultra-pasteurized is so sterile that the cultures kind of tend to have a tough time growing in it. You don't have as good of a success if you use ultra-pasteurized. I use whole milk because that's just the flavor that I prefer. I like to have whole milk, and you can get away absolutely with using low-fat or non-fat milk. It's just the consistency is a little bit thinner. You can also use homogenized or non-homogenized milk. It's your choice. They both work. So for my recipes, I use organic pasteurized milk that I buy at the local health food store. And you just want to read the label to see to make sure that it's not ultra pasteurized. And the instructions that I'm going to spell out here for you are using that type of milk. But in case you're wondering, you absolutely can make homemade yogurt from raw milk, goat's milk, and even though I haven't done it myself, you can use nut milks like almond milk. Now, the instructions for these different types of yogurts are a little bit different than what I'm spelling out here, but I absolutely promise to have links in the show notes so that you can get instructions for doing those different types of yogurts. It's just a slight variation on the steps I'm going to talk about here. Okay, so are you ready to hear how to do it? All right, it's pretty easy. So this is how you make really easy room temperature yogurt. I buy a Veely starter. It's an heirloom variety, and I buy mine online from Cultures for Health. It's an online store that has incredible selection of some of the more unusual cultures that you can use for yogurt and other types of fermentation, but you can certainly find heirloom cultures and many other sources. And what you do is you pour your milk into a clean jar. I use a mason jar, and I absolutely love using my vintage canning jars, my old blue vintage canning jars for this because they look so pretty on my kitchen counter. So I take the milk, pour it into the jar, I add my little package of starter, and I stir it up. It's okay to use a stainless steel or a wooden spoon. I would avoid aluminum. Aluminum's a little bit reactive, and you don't want to have anything reactive when you're working with culture. So after you have the culture pretty evenly distributed into the container, you just add some kind of cover over the top. I use a coffee filter, a paper coffee filter, but you could also use like a tea towel, anything that covers it up, the purpose just to keep the bugs out of it. You don't want a fly or anything going down into your yogurt. And I use a rubber band around the top just to hold it in place. Then you set it on your kitchen counter and you let the mixture set for about 12 to 18 hours until it sets. Now, this is a lot longer than a traditional ferment. A traditional ferment using the type of culture where you warm up the milk, that usually takes only like 7 or 8 hours. This one works a little bit slower when it's at room temperature. Now, if you're doing this in the summertime, it tends to be more like 12 hours. If you're doing it in the wintertime, more like 18 hours. And if it's really cold in your kitchen, then find a warm spot. I happen to have a really warm spot right on top of my DVR player. It's always running because we have satellite, and I just set it on there, and that just that little bit of motor running keeps it just warm enough to keep my jar at a nice room temperature, even if it's cold. So if you find that you have kind of a cold kitchen in the middle of December, see if you have a warm spot like on top of the refrigerator or some other place where it's warm enough that you're reaching between 70 and 78 degrees. Now, the very first time that you ever make yogurt, when you're using a store-bought or a purchased starter, it can take a little bit longer than 12 to 18 hours. In fact, it usually can take up to 48 hours just for that initial ferment. But after that, every time if you take a little bit of this starter and use it to start the next batch, it only takes between 12 and 18 hours. You'll know that the yogurt is finished when you tip the jar and the yogurt kind of pulls away from the sides, or it stays so thick that you tip the jar and it doesn't move at all. At that point, you just put the jar into the refrigerator and let it sit for about 6 hours to sit and firm up, and it also stops the fermentation process. After that, you can just eat it. That's super easy, right? Now, what about making the next batch? Remember, this is the type of yogurt culture that can be used over and over again, indefinitely. That means that if you can keep this culture alive, you really never have to buy yogurt again. To keep your culture viable and alive and happy and healthy, all you have to do is make your next batch of yogurt within 5 to 7 days. After that time frame, the cultures start to die off and they just may not be as strong to do a reculture. If you get into some sort of a routine with this, it's really not difficult to keep it up. I just always make my yogurt every 7 days on the weekend. It's just part of my weekend routine. So to make your next batch, you just use a little bit of your current yogurt as your starter. And the ratio is to take about 1 tablespoon of your previous yogurt for every 1 cup of milk. Just add that mixture to a clean mason jar, stir it up, cover it with a cloth or a paper coffee filter, and continue on with your ferment just like you did the last time. Now, you may be wondering about sweetening or flavoring your yogurt, and you absolutely can. I like to use maple syrup with mine, but you can certainly stir in fruit, vanilla, honey, just about anything that you want. Just remember that if you're going to be making a fresh batch of yogurt from your current batch, you should always first pull out some of the unsweetened, unflavored yogurt so that you can use that as your starter for your next batch. Another thing that I want to address is if this whole fermentation thing sounds a little bit scary to you, because listen, I understand that it's a little odd to take perfectly good milk and sit it on the countertop outside of refrigeration for anywhere from 12 to 48 hours. I know that may not be something that you've ever done before. And if you're a newbie, it can feel weird and you may even be worrying about what if something goes wrong. So here's the deal. If it's a healthy yogurt culture, it will immediately take over the milk and begin to turn that milk sugar into lactic acid. Now, this acid is a really safe environment and it's completely free from things like botulism. The pH is such that even if botulism were in that mixture, it cannot grow and it cannot create the botulism toxin. So that lactic acid environment is a really safe environment. Now you may be thinking, well, what if something goes wrong and my pH level isn't right? Well, you still aren't going to get botulism from this, and that's because we're doing the fermentation in an unsealed jar. The top of that jar is open. It just has, you know, paper or a piece of fabric over the top. It is not an airtight environment. It's an aerobic environment. There's oxygen present. And botulism can only happen in an anaerobic or an oxygen-free environment. So that's a second way that botulism is a non-issue here. And even if something goes horribly wrong when you're making your yogurt and you use a culture that maybe is dead or weak, then what happens is the milk that's sitting out on that counter, it will just spoil, just like spoiled milk in the refrigerator. And you will know it immediately because it will smell horrible. So the rule of thumb is that if you are ever making a yogurt and it smells unpleasant, don't eat it. It's that simple. And this is not something where you're going to go, I'm not sure. Does it smell bad? Oh, no. You know if it smells bad. It will immediately smell like rotten milk. And if that happens, you throw it away and you start over. It's really easy. So just remember, you're going to be safe because of the pH level, that there's oxygen present, and that you have a really clear indicator, the smell, if something is going horribly wrong. Another question that I get a lot is, okay, so if I'm making this yogurt every 7 days and I'm making it perpetually over and over, what happens if I go on vacation or I want to take a trip? If it's like a pet and I have to take care of it, what happens if I want to go out of town? Well, it's a really good question, and trips happen. So here's how you can keep making yogurt even if you're going to go out of town. One method is just before you head out the door, you make a fresh batch of yogurt and you put it into the refrigerator. It will keep in the refrigerator for about 7 days before you start losing the viability of your culture. If you're going away for longer than 7 days, you can always have a friend keep the yogurt just like you would have them take care of your pet dog or cat, and just have them remake a batch for you while you're gone and teach them how to do it. They might even want to keep some for themselves. You might hook them on making yogurt. So that's another way, is just to have them care for your starter while you're out of town. A third way to care for it is to just freeze a little bit of the yogurt in 1 tablespoon measurements. Now, I have not tried this myself, but I know it works. The trick here is that you don't keep it frozen for too long. I would say a few weeks to a month or two is about as long as it should be able to last in a frozen state. And remember that when you thaw it out to make your next batch, it may take a little bit longer to get started. So instead of being a 12-hour ferment, it may be a 48-hour ferment. And the last way to keep making yogurt if you go out of town for a long period of time is just to start over when you get back. You just have to buy another culture and get started again. The cultures are not expensive. They're just a few dollars. And you can get the cultures at health food stores. You can buy them online. If you have a friend who makes yogurt, you can get a little bit of their yogurt as a culture to make your batch. So there's a lot of places that you can start over. Okay, so I'm hoping that that's enough information to get you started into yogurt making, and hopefully I answered some of your questions and took away any fears that you have. The whole process is really cool, and the flavor is so superior to what you buy in the store. I really hope you'll give it a shot. Now remember that all the instructions and the links for the different types of yogurts and even where to get yogurt will be in the show notes for this episode. Just go to livinghomegrown.com/02. Thank you so much for being here today. I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate that you took time out to listen. So until next time, just keep working toward living a little bit more local and living homegrown. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Living Homegrown Podcast. Visit livinghomegrown.com to download Teresa's free canning resource guide and find more tips on how to live farm fresh without the farm. Be sure to join Teresa Lowe next time on the Living Homegrown Podcast.